This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, gosh. Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Artist Blueprint. My name is John Henry Soto, and as always, there he is, George Batista is with us. And we always start really laughing really, really a lot.
Yeah.
Literally like with 10 seconds left. And anyway, but we are here today. We are back, actually. We've been gone for a couple of weeks. My fault. With full transparency, I injured my back like a 80-year-old man. But I have a chronic back situation that I've been handling for years. I'm really good with it, but for some reason, 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago now, I just screwed up my back. So it put me out of commission for a lot of things, and I am back now. So yeah, we did put a rerun episode last week, which was good and well received, because people told me, he goes, "Oh, I'm glad you're back, because I saw you were on the show." And I was like, "No, I'm not back yet. I'll be back next week." That was I'm glad you're watching.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we are back now, and want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're George and I were talking about something interesting right before we went on about sort of not putting so much attention on medial, is that a word?
Menial.
On menial tasks. Basically, really focusing on what the purpose is, and then just trying to move those cycles and those things that for some reason draw our attention. And I'll even talk about it in a little bit. Let's do our sponsor first before I get yapping. And take it away, Jorge.
Thank you, sir. So the Artist Blueprint is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality, clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why I love them so much. Fantastic supplements, and why many other people around the world choose to take them. Make sure you check them out at myvitaminresource.com. And number one, if you enter the promo code ARTISTBLUEPRINT, because you are our listeners and viewers, you will get free shipping on your order. And on top of that, take advantage of their daily specials. And this month's daily special is 25% off their weight management supplements. And those of you who may listen to my show, you know, I talk about a lot about leptin and leptin weight management. They have some fantastic supplements if you're looking to lose weight, if you're looking to curb the appetite and, you know, stop the sugar cravings and all that. So, again, 25% off weight management supplements. Check them out. It's wellness resources at myvitaminresource.com.
Cool. That's...
I should work for Jeopardy.
Yeah, you should. So we were talking about kind of moving things out of the way that kind of sometimes just become a nuisance. But for some reason, we put a lot of attention on some of these things. And I think when I hurt my back, you know, you obviously you can't move. So I'm laying there kind of just thinking about my life, my existence, you know, to sad music. And I would start thinking about how grateful I am that I actually do have a body that can move around and that there's, you know, we get older and it gets harder to move around and, you know, not to be depressing, but, you know, that is a fact of life. And you're trying to do the most you possibly can with the time that you have available, that you're functioning and that your body can move well, you know, and I have that ability other than this little back thing, you know, which I'm going to doctors and I'll be fine. But it's one of those, and one of the things I talked about was about, which is kind of a silly thing, but like socks, like matching socks, you know, and yeah. I used to have different types of socks and they have to, you wash them and then you got to match your socks. And it was such a tedious thing. And I just thought, why do I do that? Who cares about my socks? Who is going to look down at me and be like, oh, look, he's got a different pair of socks from the last time. Cause last time he had the blue ones with the dolphins. Now he has the orange ones with the pumpkins on it. Wow, John, you know, that would be more extreme. That you would have to match. But, you know, who cares about what kind of socks, you know? So that I went out and I got rid of all my colored, anything that was different socks, got rid of all of them. And I went to, like, Walmart and I just bought bags and bags of socks that were all the same. They're gray. They're good quality. They're not – they're bad quality. And they're right. Good. But they're all just gray, one color. And – I basically now when you do laundry, now you just take two socks, you throw them together and you're done. I don't even sometimes put them together. I just take them all and just throw them in the thing. And then when I got to go, I just grab two socks. I do the same thing with the jeans. I went out and I said, okay, I like these jeans. I like the jeans I'm wearing right now. They fit me comfortably. They don't hurt my waist. They fit okay. You know, I'm not gaining weight. I'm not really losing weight. I'm kind of keeping it where it is. I went to one of the other shops and I bought, you know, five pair in the same size, same color, same everything. And then another like three or four pair of another color, same thing, same size, same everything. And then t-shirts. I went and I bought a bunch of black t-shirts, navy blue t-shirts, gray t-shirts, have, you know, different color blues and just have a bunch of t-shirts. So now when I go out, I just wear t-shirt, jeans. And then if I have to like look fancy or whatever, I bought, you know, some collared shirts, you know, just some decent collared shirts. And I have like, I don't know, like maybe 10 collared shirts that I just have. And I'll use one for like either for the show here. Sometimes you'll see me with a different shirt, a new shirt that I just got. I'll try it on the show, whatever. But no, it just saves so much meaningless. It's a task that really does not have to. Now, if you're going to an event, you know what I mean? If you're going to a, you know, and if you go to events a lot, you know, like if you're, and I understand that for men and women, I think it's a little bit different. Yeah. A man can put on a tuxedo that he rents.
Yeah.
You know, but a woman has to go out and buy a dress.
True.
You know, and has to do the whole, that whole thing. And she wants to have a different dress every time. She's not going to wear the same dress. A man can wear a tuxedo at every single event. I have a tuxedo. I bought a tuxedo 20 years ago when I got married. I rented one for my wedding. And then like about a year later, I was going to go to some event. Mm. It was a gala. And I was like, oh, I can get a tuxedo. So I went and I bought it. I bought the whole thing. It's sitting there. You know, it was the last time I wore it. The gala. It's in my closet, you know. But if I needed it, I can pull it out and put it on. You know, I think I'll still fit into it. But anyway, my point on that is just that there's a lot of things that I put my attention on sometimes that slows me down, you know, and it becomes frustrating.
You know, it is. I've actually often said that about you too, actually. But no, you
actually was telling me something about you some changes you.
Yeah, no, it's also. And it's so true though. I've really, and I was telling John that in the last few months, especially maybe in the last 6 months, that I've really changed my philosophy on a lot of things. I've changed my philosophy. I've become a little more, I've simplified a lot. I actually, even on my phone, it says simplify. That's, you know, it reminds me every time I look at my phone. And, you know, I've stated, you know.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like for my show, for example, there's certain things that I'm, you know, that I'm doing for my show that are straightforward. Some people would say boring or whatever, but it's okay. Because I know that those things are going to be the most productive things that move my show forward. It's not going to be, I'm not going to be Mr. Social Media and do all that. I took all the social media off my phone. I have no social media on my phone. All right. And I do everything on the computer, you know, it because I want to be intentional about how I use things and how I do things. So now everything has an intention on it, but it's not like, I'm not like, oh my God, I have to have this. No, I just do it. And I scratch it off and I do it. And everything is a simplified version of what I used to do. And it's changed. It's changed a lot of things. And now I'm starting to see flow coming in. Yeah. Now I'm actually attracting advertisers on my show. I'm actually attracting people onto the show. I'm actually attracting things just in my life that I wasn't seeing before. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, there is something to this. And just like you said about the socks, even with clothes and even with things that I do around the house, I've simplified a lot of that. Because you can, it's amazing how you don't realize how you can really get caught up in such crap.
Yeah.
You know, such crap that you think that you need to do all this stuff.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's not even for you.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You're doing it because other people are going to see you. So you care about what they. And I tell you right now, if somebody says to me, why do you always wear a black t-shirt with jeans or whatever I'm wearing, I'll be like, I'll give them exactly what I just told you, right? What I just said right here, I'll tell them exactly that. And I guarantee you, they'll look at their lives probably a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, when you sit there and you open your closet up, and I used to do this when I worked in an office where I had to wear a shirt and ties, you open that closet up and now you're thinking, what tie? Did I wear that tie yesterday? No, I wore this one. Maybe I'll wear this one. I haven't worn this one in a while. And suddenly you have, you know, a minute of your life is on a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
That goes around your neck that doesn't even make any sense to goes around. Why do we hang these things around our necks? There's no purpose to it. It's just literally a thing, a loop. We hang it and it just hangs there.
Yeah.
There's no purpose to it other than like, oh, he's well dressed. Look at the thing, the piece of cloth he has hanging around his neck. It's called a tie, John.
Yeah.
Yes, look at that tie. I mean, it's just listen, if somebody is into, you know, I know that fashion is it's an art, it's a creative thing. Now, if you watch fashion shows, I don't know what's going on with the fashion world, but good fashion is good fashion. And you can see a nice suit. A guy who's dressed sharp and nice, that's awesome. And if that's the thing that they want to do and you want to do, I think that that's totally acceptable. You know what I mean? But, you know, the for me and for any entrepreneur and anybody that's trying to build something, you have to simplify your life, like George was saying, and put those things in. And if it's social media, like I have social media, I use social media all the time. You know, I don't, it doesn't pull me away from things. It gives me the things that I'm, you know, it's part of what I'm, it's my job basically. Right.
Right. Right.
But if there's a thing that stops you, slows you down in any way or distracts you, you know, but I see people, you know, it's funny when I was in New York, I'd be on the subway and I would see people on their phones. And for some odd reason, I would always think that they're working.
Yeah.
I would always think that they were. And when you look, you know, somebody sitting there and you look, it's like Candy Crush.
Yeah, football game. Yeah,
it's like just a distraction. You know, it's a distraction from something. Now, if you're happy at your job, and we said this before, you know, if you're happy at your job, and you're not, you know, looking to leave, and you know, entertain yourself. You know, obviously that's fine. You know, but if you're trying to build something, if you're one of those guys out there or gals that are complaining that, oh, you know, I really want to build a business and I want to do this and I want to do that, but you're not doing that. Look at your life and try to spot things that pull you away from that thought, from that viewpoint, or from that direction. So as soon as you're going in that direction, think about what is it that is pulling you into whatever it is, Candy Crush or watching TV at night or just being tired. Why are you tired? Are you not getting enough sleep? Are you taking, do you need supplements? Do you need to exercise more? Do you need to change your diet? You know, those kinds of things you have to look at, because that is going to affect you. You know, that will affect you. And it's sad.
You know, it's interesting. I heard somebody say, and I never thought about this, they said that technology as a whole, it could be any type of technology, was really supposed to make our lives easier and was supposed to make productivity better. That was the idea behind technology, right? But really, if you think about it, it doesn't. Because the more technology actually it distracts you, the less actually creativity you have. And the less, it can affect your productivity and creativity. I have found now that, because I've even simplified what I watch, okay, and what I and how much I watch and these things. And I've found that when I'm alone with my thoughts, when I'm actually bored, when I'm actually out there and my phone's in my pocket or my phone's in my house or whatever, I find myself becoming more creative musically. Business-wise, I find myself coming up with ideas that I wouldn't have had if I would have been constantly distracted, because my mind was so used to being distracted from Netflix, being distracted on the social media, being distracted on the, and my mind is actually, it's forcing itself now to actually come up with creative solutions. And that was one of the things I talked about on my show about one of the ideas I had, and you and I have talked about this as well, is the going for the walk. Going for the walk, but putting the phone away and going for the walk and looking and going around, right? And doing that whole thing and doing that on a regular basis to get your mind back moving and thinking and stimulating and the eyeballs moving and all this, right? It stimulates the creativity. And I have found for me personally, in the time that I've been doing that, it's been a huge difference in my creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a tool that I utilize all the time, especially when I was in New York. You know, I love walking. You know, and walking was very therapeutic for me in New York. You know, there is a chapter on that in the book Problems of Work, which is a Scientology book, and you know, he talks about that and why it actually it works. And when you go out, like if you're frustrated, if you're at a job and you're And people say that all the time. It's almost like part of the culture now anyway. Go take a walk.
Right.
You know, go take a walk, you know, and because it does work.
Yeah.
It does destimulate
yes.
a person from wherever they're sitting, and it gets them to extrovert a little bit and look out and be able to take breath and kind of just gather their thoughts again. And you know, the social media part of it, you know, and technology in general, like I love technology. I'm a technology nerd when it comes to things, but here's the thing, and what you said is on point, because you know the reason that it's not helping It's because those that have the most money can utilize those technologies to sell, to distract, to confuse at right. at some point, to argue, to share political views,
right.
to share religious views, to share whatever the and just constant distraction.
Yes.
And then the goal is to sell.
Right.
Because that is what, if you look at all.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
These platforms, they're all just trying to make money. So the more you're on the platform, the more you're likely to buy something
right.
from those right. platforms. Now, if you go the other way and you say, well, I can actually pay for ads to promote my business, you know, that's you're utilizing the technology in the proper way.
Right.
Same
exactly.
thing same thing with the car. You know, the car was invented and then somebody decided, let's use a car to rob a bank and then we can get away faster, you know. right. And it's like, right. okay, well, somebody's using technology, you know, that technological advancement and
But there's a difference between and this is my kind of like where I kind of go to is there the difference between manipulated by the technology and actually being in control of the technology. And this is where I'm kind of falling into, right? I've done that for health for a long time. And, you know, I found myself, you know, years ago that I was starting to get manipulated by the technology. And it doesn't have to be social media. It could be Netflix. It could be whatever it is, you know? And then I said to myself, wait a minute. I said, you know, I'm actually falling into what they want me. Like you said, these people with a lot of money whose basic design is to keep you distracted and to keep you on their platforms, keep you watching this and doing that and all this.
You can buy stuff.
And right. And I'm like, no, I want to have control. So now I put safeguards in place. And this is part of simplifying things where I'm in control. I'm going to go and have a purpose when I use the platform. I'm going to have a purpose when I watch this, you know, even on YouTube, right? I love YouTube, but when I go on YouTube, it's for a purpose. I don't right. go on there to scroll to see what else is recommended to me. Right. I want to go look for a specific channel and I use it kind of like Netflix. I'm going to go look for a specific thing and I'm going to watch the new one that came out and then I move on. So right. in that thing I'm intentional about how I use technology. Again, technology is amazing. It's a great thing and I love it, but it's how you use it, how it's used basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And YouTube is also a good, it is the second largest search engine in the world.
Yeah, so of course.
It's a good research.
Absolutely.
Tool as well.
That's exactly it. Right.
So
right.
yeah. So sometimes I'll be like, I'll research whether I get sucked into like drummers and guitars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's easy to do. Yeah.
yeah, because you know, you go there and my whole page now is just music and film stuff.
Right.
So there's like, you know, I'll see like something new that I never saw before. You know, it'll be like, oh, here's a Stevie Ray Vaughan in a clip that I never saw before. Well, I'm going to watch that. And then there'll be recommended. So, you know, there is a way to, you know, to get you if you're interested in that thing.
Yeah.
Like for me, you know, I think I was the first one in when we were in a band together. I was the first one to really get into the whole social media stuff.
Oh, like, yeah, definitely.
I was the one that came with MySpace and I was like, this is the new thing. So I always had the idea that this is powerful because you can reach people from here, from wherever you are, and you can bring them into your world and you can build a brand by doing that.
Right.
You know, this is what I do with technology. So I knew that early on, but I also knew for some reason, and probably because I wasn't a young man, you know, I was an older man. So it wasn't like I was a kid,
right?
You know, where I was going to get, if I was a kid with this, we'd probably be a different situation. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, as an older man, I kind of know, but this could also get really dangerous. I remember thinking this could also get addictive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then kids lose their creative abilities. You know, now they're relying on this box, this little box, to entertain them,
yeah,
and to make them feel like something,
right?
And they're lacking something on their own. I go through it with my kids. You know, my son. I have to, you know, and I tell them, I'm like, well, the reason you're bored, because think about it, George. Imagine being bored. When you and I were kids, what did we do?
that was gonna say that, right?
It's we got to play music, which we learned. Yeah. We dove into that, but then we would watch, you know, Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm.
We'd watch The Frugal Gourmet on PBS. We'd watch Star Trek. You know, a bunch of Star Trek. You know, over and over again. And that's what we would actually. That was our what was interesting to us. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think that. What it does is, especially, we're going to talk about my new book.
I was going to say, we're nowhere near that.
So this show is actually about my book that's coming out. I'll just flash it there. But yeah, this is that's my book coming out. I will touch upon it in a little bit.
Okay.
And see what. Anyway, you know, there is a possibility of getting addicted.
Yes.
To this, but what I think that it's doing is that. Kids now are having so much trouble being creative on their own.
Yeah.
You know, they can't just, you can't give a child a pen and a paper. I don't mean a child, but, you know, like a 10-year-old that can write and write me a story. I was like, what story? I don't know. And we had to write stories when we were younger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're in school, you have to write. And today it's just changing. You know, it's just completely changing. And that's part of the... I think that's part of the tragedy of social media is that, you know, I try to teach my kids the what's behind it.
Yes.
Like, I'll give you an example. My daughter homeschools.
Right.
And so I created her curriculum based on these online sites that have these really good, some of them are Christian-based curriculum, mm-hmm. which I like those. You know, they're very thoughtful in the way they're structured, right?
Right.
So I created her curriculum and I put it on for her. And one of the things I knew is that because she likes being on the computer and she does her schoolwork on the computer and she plays Roblox, and all that stuff. So I said, okay, well, one of the lessons were how does algorithms work?
Mm.
How do you know? And so I explained to her. I was like, oh, this is actually a class that's going to teach you. Why Facebook sometimes the posts are higher than others and why. And she's like, oh, really? She's like, I want to learn that. I was like, good. So I want to let them know that what they're seeing here is not the thing.
Right.
Behind it is the thing.
Right.
You know, learn more about what's happening behind the scenes.
Right.
Learn coding and stuff. Even coding now is like not as popular as it was a few years ago because now AI does a lot of coding as well. But coding, for instance, is something that, you know, or at least that mindset that kids pick up very quickly because they pick it up as a language. They pick absolutely. It up as an understanding and they're sponges when they're young, you know. So if we're going to have technology, which, by the way, it's not going anywhere, you know, unless the sun shifts into the sun, unless the earth, I should say, let me just rephrase it, unless earth shifts its access and hurls into the sun, we're going to have technology here for a very long time and it's going to keep advancing and AI is going to be here and it's going to do a lot of the jobs and stuff like that. And it's going to create almost the same effect that all major technologies created. You know, you think when the electric car came out that the guys that had the horses and buggies, that they weren't like, well, wait a minute, how's that running? Well, it's running on, you know, on gas or There was. You can go back and read articles of like the uproar that was happening with that. You can go back to the printing press.
Right.
You know, the printing press had kind of, you go back to the radio. The radio, when the radio first came out, you know, it was a huge thing because now people, oh, who's going to buy my newspaper if they can just listen to somebody give them the news and what's happening. So it was a major, major, major issue with the whole technology. So every technology has its time that it's going to create its effects. You know, it happens with the cell phone and now it's happening with AI, and it's going to continue happening in the future with 10 feet tall robots, which I hear is coming.
Well, that would be helpful for you. The only thing I would say about that is that there's a difference between the technology when you look at the Industrial Revolution, when you look at all these things in history, whereas now you are literally manipulating the mind. Whereas back then,
newspapers were.
Yes, but it's a big difference. It's now everybody has a newspaper on their phone. There's a big difference between having a newspaper constantly in front of you for 7 hours than going to get a newspaper and reading it once and putting it away. Okay. Kids now, I think, and again, technology is a great thing. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just looking at both sides of it. And I'm saying that there's the fear for me and others that the technology with this generation now that's growing up is going to be more reliant on distraction and technology and mind manipulation and less on creativity.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have less of a creative generation moving forward. It is happening, but I'm saying that you're seeing it. I mean, we're literally watching it in front of our eyes right now, right?
Yeah.
Our kids now are growing up into that. Okay. Because you and I grew up in a time where we had to figure out what we were going to do when we were bored. You and I had to figure out, you know, how we were and the creative process. And we had music as an outlet to be creative, where kids now, you know, instead of learning an instrument, would rather watch somebody dance on TikTok because that's more stimulating to them than being creative and learning an instrument.
Right. Yeah. You haven't seen my dances on TikTok. So
that, well, that's true. I hope you wear clothes when you do that.
Well, on TikTok, you have to.
Is that how you hurt your
brain? There is an app. There is an app. If you want to follow me, go to my page.
Ooh.
But you know what? What I was thinking about, I mean, yeah, you're right. Because, I mean, back in the days, you know, you had to find, and that's why we went out. I went out, I did a lot of bike riding. We played baseball. We played basketball. You know, we had to do, then we came home. We eat some food. And there was a lot of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talking, a lot of humor. We would laugh. The whole point was to make each other laugh. And to just be silly, you know, and it seems now you'll see, like, I've seen this, you know, you'll see like 5 or 6 kids hanging out today and they're all on their phones.
Yes.
Not even interacting with one another. You know, now, of course, this is not a new thing that I'm saying. I'm not, you know, saying anything that hasn't been said already by a bunch of other people online. My thing is that it all comes down to the parents or guardians that can make sure that child understands what they're dealing with.
Correct.
You know, so they understand that this will make you less creative.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have, cause I mean, how can you even sit there and write something if you're being influenced by everything that's on your screen every single day? You're going to be motivated by that screen.
Yes.
So it's like, when the internet goes out, it's like, you know, what are we going to do? Now, I say technology is going to advance, and it is going to advance to some degree, but there are going to be moments in time when things crash.
Right.
We had Facebook crash a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was, and in certain areas, and it was a big deal. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, no, how can I let everybody know how good this omelet is? You know, they were making a lot of jokes and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's that kind of upbringing that we have to now think about with our kids. And George, well, you have your daughter is a little older. She's 16?
17.
You know, my daughter is 13. My son is 7. They grew up with this.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't know life without cell phones and without technology. They don't understand it. George and I didn't have this. People don't understand that there was none of this existed. If George and I had were going to talk, he'd have to call my house. And if I was home, I would answer it, or my grandma would answer it. Tito, Georgie. And that'd be our lives.
I love hearing your grandmother every time I call.
Oh, man, she was the best. She was the best. Yeah, you know, it was just a different time. We also got to spend a lot of time playing music and being more creative, you know, which I think is also, I hope to God that, you know, that people are being influenced also by the apps musically, because there are a lot of things that you can do, you know.
Right.
You could learn how to play. I mean, geez, you could learn how to play anything if you want to learn how to play it.
You can get a PhD on freaking YouTube. And again, it goes back to what I was saying, is being intentional and using it for these types of things. I mean, even for me on the health side of stuff, I've learned so through the years how much I've learned watching certain doctors on YouTube and different debates on nutrition and health. And this one said this and this one. Great stuff. I would sit there and take notes on this stuff because, I mean, I just, you know, I love that stuff. But
yeah. So, I mean, well, anyway, let's.
But John wrote a book, by the way.
Yeah.
And John's writing a book.
Yeah, but this is how the Artist Blueprint show goes.
Yes.
You know, we get passionate about stuff and we talk about things because we want to bring value to the audience and give different people something that. Too. Yeah, different perspectives as well. And I want them to, you know, let us know what you guys are thinking. You know, like, you know, are we full of crap? Are we legitimate? You know, whatever it is, you know, I think it's important for us to have these conversations.
Agreed.
So I wrote a book, and I've been working on something for a long time, and always kind of just, I don't know if it was discouraged because I was so, you know, I felt bad about anything, or I was just thinking that I couldn't do it, but I just didn't know how to frame it, you know, and I was trying to figure out way too many things that didn't need to be figured out, which is what we talked about earlier about removing the little, what did I say earlier before? The
menial tasks,
removing them. And being able to create more towards the goal.
Right.
So after I hurt my back, I was like, okay, I'm going to start jumping in this again. And I had it already almost all done, but there was a few things that I wanted to clean up on it. And I wanted to add a couple of stories, personal stories about this, about acting. So I'll just give you a quick background. So I started acting very late in my life. Like almost like everything I've done in my life has been kind of late in my life. So I started acting because George and I were in a band, and I was interested in getting involved in film. And so I found an acting coach via Craigslist.
Wow.
Craigslist. And I got to meet this wonderful, wonderful woman named Ruth Cullerman. She was a professor in England, and she moved here. She was living on the Upper West Side near Lincoln Center, and she only took 5 students per year. And
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
and she wanted to meet with me. And she had three, and she only takes five. So she called me in, and I went again. I had no background in film. The only thing I had was music. I just played music on stage and stuff like that. But you know, you have the guitar to hide behind, sort of. You know,
yeah.
So this was a little bit more of one of those daring moments for me. And so that experience brought me to Ruth Kellerman, where she worked with me for about a year, where then I started auditioning after a year, where then I started booking a bunch of stuff like within like a couple of years. And then I got interested in behind the scenes. I wrote a script and I shot it. I cast it. I shot it. A friend of mine edited it, put it into festivals. It did really well. I did another one. I did another one. I did another one. I did another one. And what that's given me is sort of given me like a bit of a bachelor's degree, you know, not a master's yet, because I want to do some more features. But it has given me enough information that I know that I can help someone,
right?
You know, and so talking to my business partner for JHS talent management, you know, he was saying, you know, you should put something together with the knowledge that you have, but for beginners. Someone that just decides, you know what, I want to go into acting. You know, I think I can do it. I really do think I can do it. But where do I start? Well, you can start with my book. So this is The Artist Blueprint for the Beginning Actor. And this book is really for those, and I wrote on there, for those who always felt they could act if they had some guidance. Well, the blueprint is that I put that together for y'all. So it has in it literally everything that you need if you want to become an actor, like where to go, how to get headshots, how to audition, where to get auditions, casting calls, like where to actually see casting calls, how to operate your career as a business, you know. And I even give examples of, like, I know we're talking about social media and stuff, but like the use of social media, the positive use of social media. And I tell a story there about how I met someone on a simple tweet. And he was a legendary singer-songwriter. And from that tweet, I got to actually meet him in person and help him promote his book via social media. And then he gave me an acknowledgement in his book. I've had lunches and dinners with him. Because he's seen my film as well, and he really enjoys my work because of a simple tweet. So I talk about that in the book. I also give you, you know, networking is on social media is different than networking when you go to a networking event,
right?
Because you walk into a place and networking. I've been to those too, especially in New York for actors. You go to a networking event for actors and filmmakers and stuff, and you go in there and you meet other filmmakers. They're working on a film. Hey, you know, I have a role. I mean, maybe that you want to read for it. Sounds good. You know, hey, I'm casting this, whatever. But on social media, it's very, very different. But it can be very, very powerful if you do it correctly. But there's a science to it that I've learned from others that I've learned from, and from just myself applying it and being successful at meeting people, and then engaging with them, and then providing something for them,
right,
and not asking something for them. You know, that's like a big factor of it. And so I go through steps on all of that. And then there's a lot of other things like proper audition etiquette. There's other things in there that talk about finding the right role. Also, you know, you have to also know what you can be cast at, and be really the most important thing is that you have to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to look at yourself and say, like, I looked at me, I know I'm not going to be the leading man. I'm not going to be George Clooney. You know, I know that, you know? So I figure, okay, well, I could be the next door neighbor. You know, I could be the Kramer guy. I could
George
be
Costanza.
The George Costanza guy. You know what I mean? I know I can do those roles, you know?
Right.
And that's what I was pulling in. That's what I would get. I would get those kinds of roles, you know. Now, I because I'm a writer, I wrote my own script, and I put myself as the lead in it because I can do that. So That's another thing that I talk about in the book, is about taking responsibility for your own work, putting out your own work. And I do a whole thing on that, on how to, you know, break down like what, you know, the from the initial thought of what you want to write about, or maybe somebody else is writing it and you're shooting it, whatever it is, from that initial all the way down to where you're going to submit it, you know, and how you can submit it and where you can go to submit, and what are the costs? Cause there is a cost. I also talk in the book about costs of things, you know, cause everyone is like, you know, we're living in a time, I think not so much now. Well, it depends who you're talking to, but there are moments where people are like, oh, well, how much is that? That's where they get you. You know,
right.
Like,
right.
Listen, if you want anything successful in your life, you got to pay something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to pay to learn from people.
That's right.
You got to pay. George and I pay for this StreamYard. We pay for this. We pay for, you know, we sometimes pay for the advertising.
Yep.
We pay to keep the lights on. I paid for this mic. This was not a cheap mic at the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I paid for my lights. I pay all this stuff. You got to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's much easier if you put down a budget for specifically what you want to do. Let's say you want to do a podcast. Okay. On the podcast, you're going to have a budget.
Yeah.
And you're going to think about all the items that you need to have a budget, to have a podcast, like, and you write it down in there. If you want to shoot a short film, okay, here is all the things that you need for, you know, financially to think about, right? And then you, depending on where you are in the world, right, you look and see what's the cost, right? It may be cheaper to rent a church here in Nashville because there's a million churches. You know, this is the Bible Belt, right? So we have churches like lined streets here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may be able to go in and rent for cheaper than it is to go to Manhattan in New York and try to rent a space in there, right? So wherever you are, you have to kind of adjust the cost. Now, things that you buy on Amazon is whatever it is, right? But you need to budget those things out and just realize that the money that you're spending is not wasted money.
Right.
It's an investment. So never look at anything like you have to buy something. No, you have to invest in something. You have to invest in your career. You want to be an actor? Well, this book is going to take you step by step through it. And at the end, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. Because the book can only take you so far. It's just like anything on social media, right? You know, you get so many gurus on there. You know, it's like, I made $500 million in 30 days. And I didn't even leave my bed, you know, and people are like, wow, how did you do it? So they buy the course and then you get all this material, you know, I mean, I don't do that, but I've in the past, and I've heard people, they buy these big courses and then, well, now you got to read the course. Now you got to do it.
Yep.
But then they have another upsell. Well, let's say you don't want to go through all this stuff and you don't want to get the, you know, you don't want to have to do all that work. Well, you can pay us and we'll do those things for you.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then you pay a little bit extra. And sometimes it could be $500. Sometimes it can be $10,000, you know, and I know people who have paid $25,000 to get in on a business that's going to run. And then all you have to do is kind of maintain and keep the plates up, you know, just keep spinning the plates, but they'll put the plates up there. They'll balance them for you. They'll spin them for you. And then all you do is just keep them balancing. And then that costs money.
Right.
So just know that with anything, you know, it's going to cost a little bit of something, but the main reason I wrote the book, and I have a couple of things here that I wrote down just to go over, why, porque. So the book for me is sort of a healing for me. It's sort of like a reflecting on my last, that I've been doing this for 16, maybe 17 years that I've been doing this. The frustration that I've had, the anger that I've had, the failures, you know, a lot of failures, and then the successes, you know. So I wanted to kind of document it because I get the feeling that sometimes people out there feel that this is for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that, you know, like growing up where I grew up, you know, there weren't a lot of people getting out of the South Bronx thinking that they're going to become a blues guitarist,
right,
or be in a rock band or make movies or stuff like that. You know, it wasn't part of that, you know. But I can honestly say anybody, no matter what your circumstances are, you can make it. You yep. can, if you decide that you want this and you want to actually be a performer, and maybe you don't want to be an actor, maybe you want to be a filmmaker, mm-hmm. you know, this book is still going to help you with that because it's going to give you the tools, what an actor would do, but really, it's really what a filmmaker does. You know, right. this is what really how I operate, you know, because it's not so much the auditioning part of it that you, that's the, going to get you the job. It's your mindset that's going to get you the job.
Correct.
You know, it's Correct. Always going to be the mindset. So this book will help you with that. But I wrote it because I really felt that there's somebody out there, you know, that could hear me and be like, well, that little Puerto Rican dude is able to do the things he's doing now. And I have, if you look at my board here, the stuff that I got going on, it's going to be epic, you know. If that little freaking little put it, why am I insulting myself so much? If that little piece of that speak, if he can,
that's do normally it, what I would say about you.
That's true, right? I'm like, I'm talking like George over here. So if I can do it, trust me, I know it. But this is why I want to write the book too, because I also want to make connections with those individuals that are looking like and saying, man, you know, I know I can be an actor. I know yeah. I can do it. You know, I just need some kind of guidance. I know where to go. Well, this is part of the reason why I wanted to write it. And if you buy the book, you also get put into a private Facebook group. And that group is where I'm going to be doing once a month. I'll be doing live Q&As on there, and I'll be posting a lot of stuff on there. And then it's a community. I want to build a community of new actors, new people that are helping each other. And if somebody's already been an actor for a while and they've had success and they're filmmakers and they want to get the book and be part of the group as well, that's awesome, because then they can help those actors as well. You know, it's not all about me helping. I want everybody, you know, to help. So Martin Scorsese, Spielberg, you know, Tarantino, if you guys, you know, please buy the book, join my group. The group dynamic is always an important thing when it comes to the creative process, because it can really talk someone off a ledge,
right.
You know, because sometimes you just don't feel it.
True.
You know, I mean, I've been on auditions where I leave there and I'm literally shaking, you know, I'm shaking and I'm breathing weird because I was so nervous and I blew it so badly and it was so embarrassing.
Right.
That I leave there and I'm shaking. How do you come back from that? Well, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, one, I use humor. I laugh my ass off in the elevator going like, damn, that sucked. You know, and I just kind of like kept trying to like just make it where I can feel. It's yeah. okay to feel.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't have to, I don't want to lose the feeling of that. I still have the feeling. I didn't lose it, but I can control it. I can understand yeah. it and I could have it, you know. But that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book, is to be able to put a community together that can help each other create art, you know. The other reason is, which I already talked about, inspire others. And this reason is more of, I think I talked about most of these things already in my one spiel. I had these all broken down. I blew it. But anyway, inspiring others, creating meaning, and purpose, building connection and empathy, and empowering yourself, empowering like me, because I feel that I could really, you know, empower myself to help others
mm-hmm.
by doing this. I think it will really help. Not only think, I know that it will help me be able to help more people.
Right.
You know, and, right. and that gives me a little bit more confidence, and I can, the more confidence I have, the more people I can help. And that really becomes a valuable thing. I also want to do something that's meaningful. You know, it's like even films, like I've turned down stuff because I don't want to do it because it goes against my integrity to sure. do certain things. You sure. know what I mean? Like, so I don't do that, you know, nudity. You know, I keep getting asked constantly to do nudity. I'm just kidding.
But at the same time, if you buy the book, you'll be in his group where he dances naked on TikTok. So at least you'll get the nudity there
Yeah, I mean, that's worth the price of the book alone.
There you go.
Just having access to that. No, but you know, you have to, this business is, you know, people talk about Hollywood, and Hollywood is like, is, it's just having issues. They're putting things out that are very formulated. And again, I'm not all of it, because I've seen some good films. You know what I mean? Like I got around to actually seeing the other day, this is a little tangent. I got around to see La La Land.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that?
I didn't. My wife saw it. I didn't see it.
So it started off a little rough for me. I was mm-hmm. kind of like, I don't know. I'm not buying it yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, the actors are great. The it's shot beautifully. I mean, it's great. But I wasn't committed yet. You know, and then they did a little dance number. You know, it's sort of like a musical.
Yeah.
Not sort of like, I mean, I think it is a musical. But one of the things that, and here's my personal critique, if anybody, you know, thinks I'm way off base, but I grew up, my mom was a huge fan of Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, you know, Ginger Rogers, you know what I mean? Like all of them, right? Judy Garland and that, just that whole era. Danny Kaye was huge in my house. Like Danny Kaye, my mom would, whenever Danny Kaye was on, she would call me, Danny Kaye's on, you know, even my grandfather would. And so, and these are like masters mm-hmm. of being in this type of environment, that type of film, you know.
Right.
But what I gathered as a filmmaker, I thought to myself, I said, you know, the part of the reason why I think it worked in the 40s and 50s was because all the actors were sort of in on it. They weren't Marlon Brando actors.
Right.
They weren't feeling the pain. They were in on the joke. They were in on the music.
Yes.
You know, suddenly Fred Astaire meets Ginger Rogers for the first time, and suddenly they're like, heaven.
Right.
I'm in heaven. Right. And they're all doing the same dance steps and everything. And it's sort of like comical to think about. But they pull it off because everybody is in on it. Everybody is playing the game at that level.
Yeah.
And yeah. with La La Land, which I actually enjoyed, you know, I mean, I did enjoy it. I love the performances. But
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What I felt was that there was so much real pain in there. Mm. It was almost like and as an actor, you know, it's about actors in New York and a musician. You know, and an actor and a musician. I mean, all the things that that fills my soul was in this film. All the heartaches, all the opportunities that failed, all the rejections, all the successes that go like this and then suddenly boom.
Yeah.
All that stuff was in this film. So it really did affect me, but it affected me so much that it was really painful to watch it. You know, right. It was like, so I did enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the reason I bring that up is because I don't want to knock all of Hollywood. Every once in a while, something comes in that does really, you know, meet the grade as far as good quality work.
Sure.
You know? But the what's happening in Hollywood, I think, is we're heading into a new golden age. This is my own spiel. We're heading into a golden age right now. And I think it's because the large studios have lost their momentum and their money, yes. basically. Right. You know, it costs a lot of money to make some of these big budget films. And now with technology, again, we're going back to technology. Technology, I can make a film that looks pretty Hollywood-ish.
Right.
You know, I mean, it looks pretty good. I have equipment that I can make a film that people are going to look at and be like, wow. And not my last film. My last film looked like horrible in comparison to the stuff that I can make now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that film I made, you know, with one camera, and, you know, it was definitely just a labor of love. But, you know, there is opportunities to make films good quality. So Hollywood has lost the ability to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, before you needed film, and film needed to be developed, and it was like it could cost you like $10,000 to develop a film. Nobody had that money. Now, some of these iPhones, you know, there's competitions with just iPhones making films. You know, now they have attachments for the iPhone that's different lenses.
Yeah, yeah.
That can capture a lot. You know what I mean? So you can really, really do a lot. You can do a lot. And what's happening is that storytelling is now going to be thought about again. Storytelling is what runs everything. It's all about story. Everything's about story. My book is about story. This show is about the story of two Puerto Ricans from the Bronx that got into music and health and fitness and decided to do a show. Everything is a story, and you're bringing people in. These big, giant films that just have a lot of forced things in them because society says that you got to put this into every film now because it's forced. It lacks authenticity because it is not authentic. It clearly is not, you know, it's being forced. So Hollywood is having a rebirth. You know, I truly believe it. And it's not going to be at that location. I mean, that location has all the places, but, you know, I just saw Tyler Perry speak at the 10X conference, 10X Grant Cardone. He was talking today, as a matter of fact, and Tyler Perry came out and he spoke about how he made it. And he's an inspiring guy. If you hear his story, how he made it was amazing. He didn't go through Hollywood. Right. By the time he got to Hollywood and said he wanted to do a film, they were like, "Who are you?"
Right.
He's like, "Well, I'm selling out theaters with my play, and I'm across the country, and I have." And, you know, they were like, "Whoa," they had no idea. So he also the deal that they gave him, because he said, "Well, the deal that I want is that I want to own everything. I want to own it." And then the studio was like, yeah, sure, you can own everything. They didn't think it was going to come out of it. He owns, George, every single film, play, everything on TV, every second, every minute of everything that's ever been on television, everything. He owns every single piece of it, which is unheard of.
Beautiful.
It's just unheard of, you know. And, of course, he's a billionaire. But his place down in Atlanta that he owns, his studio, he's the sole owner of the studio.
I love it.
He's the sole owner. No, that's unheard of.
You know? I know, but I love it. I think that's fantastic.
He's inspiring people to do that.
Yes.
You can have smaller houses. You can have a small production company. You can make your films. You can have the same distribution. You can have the same marketing. You can pay for Facebook ads. You can pay for any kind of ads online. You can go live stream. All the same things. Hollywood is trying to figure out how to get bigger. Right. What they're looking at right now is the IMAX, do more IMAX movies, because I don't have an IMAX theater. So that would be something that would be, and you have to shoot an IMAX movie in a very specific way. It's not just regular cameras. Mm-hmm. So that's something that they're hoping. I think they're hoping that that's going to be their reason why people go to movies, you know, and I think the movie experience is still an epic one.
Sure.
You know, sitting in a room of 100 people enjoying a film, it's still the best thing ever. And I don't think AI or virtual reality or anything is ever going to replace that feeling of being, maybe virtual reality, if you put the goggles on it and you can sit next to your friend who's sitting somewhere else in the country and you'll see them and you can interact with them. Maybe it'll to that degree, but there's nothing going to be equal an actual live theater experience, right? Just like live music.
Right.
You know, live music is always going to be a thing. So where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So the reason I'm saying that is because I want to, you know, make sure that people understand that whatever it is that you want to do, whether that's acting or directing or maybe you want to be an editor, you know, making that decision, you know, making that true decision and then planning it out and getting yourself a notebook, old school marble notebook. Remember these? They still sell these. I still buy them all the time. I have like dozens and dozens of these with songs that I wrote back from back the day. The same ones that I've had, George, from Glass of Notebook. And this is a one that I use for work. But get yourself a notebook and then get serious about it. This costs $2 to buy. You can buy, I think, a pack of five for like $7 somewhere.
Right.
Get yourself a notebook, get yourself a nice pen, and sit down and start really putting into the physical universe your thoughts, your ideas, your goals, what you want to achieve. Give yourself a date and say, by this time next year, I want this, blah, and write it down, you know, and then put it somewhere. Don't put it away. Put it somewhere near you where you can get it. Put it somewhere where you always, I did a video a couple of weeks, about a month ago, actually, where I talked about my setup, right? Yeah. And I talked about where I put things. I put things strategically in a place where I don't have to think about where it is or where do I have to go to make this happen. So if I want to do a live right now, I'm here. My phone is right here hanging on a tripod, which I showed on the video. If you want to check it out on YouTube and how I hooked it up, I showed where the actual clamps are, how much the clamps cost and everything. I got my camera here. I got my microphone. Everything is right where I want. I want to listen to music. My radio is right here. I got my speakers here. I got my coffee here. You know what I mean? It's like I'm very intentional about where I'm sitting and where I am at that moment.
Right.
Because then I can get the most done. I don't have to be like, oh, where did I put that notebook? You know, put it where you are going to get it. I also put things in the kitchen because I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. And in the kitchen, I have a whole setup, which I also went through in the video. And you can see what I did in the video where I hook up my tablet, my phone, my coffee machine. Everything is right there where I can actually quickly just go to work. I also use these cards that I talked about, these little index cards, these yellow cards. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
And I have those in the kitchen. So every once in a while, I get an idea. I write down the whole thing and I write it right there in the kitchen. I put it there. I do what I'm doing. Then I grab it and bring it to here and I put it on my board, which I also showed here, which it has all my different cards that I'm working on. I pull them out. I take them with me to meetings and I put them right back in there again so I know where they are.
Right.
Be intentional. Yes. You want to make it happen, you have to make it happen. The book is going to give you all the tools, right? This book will give you all the tools. It'll show you where to go, what websites to go to, how to create, you know, where to even find a headshot person, how to make a reel. All that stuff is in this book. But I'm going to tell you something. That book is not going to do it if you don't make the decision and you decide, you know what, I'm going to get that book. I'm going to join a group. I'm going to talk to John. I'm going to ask him some questions and I'm going to get started. And it doesn't have to be like in a month. It doesn't have to be like in 2 months. You can say, I'm going to get the book today. And in a year from now, I'm going to go on my first audition.
Right.
That gives you a whole year to find an acting coach or a class, get headshots, and really get comfortable with reading with someone, do workshops, go to workshops, and really put yourself into work mode and then get to work. You know, and that's really my piece of advice for y'all today. And thank you.
No, absolutely 100%. You know, and just my two cents on it. I think that the book actually comes out at the perfect time, because just like you said about Hollywood, right? Hollywood is a different place now, and Hollywood has actually really shrank. It's very small now, but what's come out of that, the independent scene and all that stuff, is actually becoming very, very huge, which is great, because people now, especially the beginning actors, the beginning directors, or actors who also want to direct like yourself and stuff like that, can take that book and automatically go to work, even just with the equipment that they have.
Yeah.
Versus like 30 years ago, you couldn't do that because the technology wasn't there. Right. Correct. So 30 years ago, you had to get your stuff and have to, and then you have to wait for this and maybe get called. And whereas now you can actually start doing things, even if you don't get an audition till a year from now on a bigger thing, you can do small stuff.
Absolutely.
You can do small independent stuff. You can do stuff your own that you wrote and directed and produced and stuff like that, because the technology is here already.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for that type of stuff. And this is where like your book is perfect for that, because you can inspire that young person just coming up saying, yeah, I could start this now.
Not, yeah, absolutely. 100%. And it's not even just where you, it's anywhere you are. It's not, right. You don't have to be in New York. Right. You don't have to be in LA.
Exactly.
You know, it's everywhere, because now you can do, you can self tape and you can submit a self tape to anywhere. Not even, you can submit to Canada.
Yeah.
You know, we have PR companies that we use that are for some of our guests. They're up in Canada, you know, and we have amazing artists coming up from there. So you can literally audition anywhere. And I will make this guarantee, which is probably an insane guarantee to make. If you make the decision, and whether you buy the book or not, but if you make the decision that you want to actually become an actor, and you sit down and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you tell your wife or your husband, your spouse, your partner, and you say, I want to try this. And if you do that, I will guarantee you that you will get work. I will guarantee you that you will get work, as insane as that sounds, because you can't guarantee anything. But if you put in that kind of work and that kind of discipline, and you put in that kind of commitment, you know, you dedicate yourself and you say, I'm going to do this, and you decide, you get work. Because when I decided, I'd never been in front of the camera for anything, maybe a video but nothing, you know, and I was able to walk into auditions. I'm a short little guy. So, you know, you walk in, I'm not intimidated about being short, as people probably think I would be or something, but I've never really have been that way. But I can observe going into a room and know that they know that I'm this little guy coming into this in here to audition.
When they finally see him. Yeah.
When they see me. Yeah. Cause the counter is usually this high. So I'm like, all you see is my hat. Hi, I'm here to audition. But you know, you go into these places and it can be very intimidating, yeah. You know, but you're not going in there to impress those guys. You know, I mean, you're going in there for a specific role, right?
Right.
So when I made that decision, and when I walked into that room for the first time to audition in front of it was a much bigger thing than I had thought. I was nervous, but I was an actor.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that that's what I was, you know, and it's about what I talked about in one of my past shows, be, do, have. Be the actor first. Be that. Then you do the work, then you'll have the success. You can't have success, then do the work so you can be an actor. You know? 100%. So that's my guarantee. I mean, I'm telling you, there's so much work right now. There's so many production companies out there. There's so many new filmmakers. People are going back into film. There's also influencers, believe it or not, that are actually now hiring filmmakers to put their content together, because they want to put stuff together that looks more cinematic rather than just the way YouTube videos kind of look. True. And that's a growing thing as well. So you can be working for a famous influencer, you know, doing their content and stuff. You know, if you're a director or a writer or whatever, or an actor, if you're, you know, they need somebody to pretend something, you know what I mean? It's like, this is all show business, right? So anyway, that's my spiel. I'll have more information on this, because I still have two things that I have to finish on this before it's out, and then it'll be on our website, and I'll talk about it here, and I'll have the link, and then you guys can get it from there. If you sign up as of in April 15th, when you sign up and you go to my website, this website, I can't find it. Where is it?
Booty.com.
So if you go to, what did you say?
Booty.com. I don't know.
That's Latin, booty.com. Booty.com was taken. I had
okay. Booty.live.
Booty.com. So if you go to jhstalentmanagement.com, April 15th, you sign up. You sign up for our newsletter that's going to be coming up. You'll get in your inbox, you'll get three PDFs that I wrote that actually will also get you started with acting. There's like auditioning tips. There's another place of where to go to get auditions. So it's actually a lot of stuff, and that you get for free. And then if you want to get the book after that, you can do that as well. And then that will bring you into the into our group, and then we can hang out and talk about film and talk about projects. And you know, if you're in the Nashville area, it's a good chance I might use you in something, because I'm going to be shooting stuff soon. So, all right, that is it. I'm glad to be back. Thank you, everybody, who messaged me while I was away. I appreciate y'all very much. Y'all mean the world to me. We love you. We appreciate you spending time with us, because we know that the world is filled with so much stuff. We are positive guys, as you probably can tell by now. We don't go dark. We go funny. We may go crude, but we don't go
and nude.
Negative. Yeah, crude and nude. We may go, but we don't go negative. We always try to find the positive in everything. So anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. We appreciate you. We'll see you all next week. Take care. God bless. And as always, peace.